The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Big day today in Port St Mary, so if you can, if you're able to, and you're in and on the voters list, then please make sure you get and vote for the Commissioner's by-election. Andrus didn't need one. Open line today, anything on your mind, text, email, call and WhatsApp. Yes, Ramsey commissioners have agreed to reinstate the raft for the summer season. And also in Ramsey, there's going to be there wasn't discussion about the Northern Civic Amenity site, but Ramsey did reject a proposal to have a modest recycling area as part of a planning application at Clackbane Drive. The developer had put the proposal forward. The recycling area would have been 14.5 square metres surrounded by a fence, but the commissioners agreed to support the construction of a path and picnic benches, but will lodge an objection to the hard standing area. Issue of dog mess as well. Lamara Crane in Ramsey's dog mess proposal was recirculated with information about where the worst fouling areas are and a list of actions that other local authorities had taken. Which prompted me, and I'm sorry if you happen to be munching a chicken sandwich, but there seems to be an outbreak of dog fouling in Peel, or an outbreak of people not bothering to clear up as well, the reports are. And heaven knows why anybody would do it. I suppose you can't really have a conversation with somebody who allows this to happen. I don't quite know whether they've realised that you are supposed to clear up after your dog, but at this time of the year, I say it's getting dark at 9 o'clock at night. Lots of people are out and about. And really, what do people think if they don't clear up after their dog? But what do you do? Reaction yesterday, I was talking about famous people on the Isle of Man, and many, many famous people there have been. We've gone to positions all around the world, but emanate from the Isle of Man. I was talking about Donald Tear yesterday, the Home Office pathologist in the UK, president of the Royal Pharmaceutical Society. And Sammy reckons he may have attended Tymwell Day in 1977. He died in 1979, but a very famous, world-renowned pathologist who was born in the Isle of Man and died in 1979. Just some people that you may not know about. You go around many other places, and there are blue plaques everywhere. We don't seem to be bubbling over with blue plaques, although I'll come to Archibald Knox in a bit. And Marcia said, what about Nellie Brennan, who nursed cholera patients but didn't catch it? Tell me more about Nellie Brennan, would you? Also, of course, lots of famous pop stars have lived here. Once upon John Coughlin of Status Quo lived. We had a lot. Well, I don't think they were here for that long, but lots of Go West were in Port Erin. Do you remember the pop studio? They used to be in Port Erin as well. George MacDonald Fraser, says John, of course, the Flashman books author, lived on Baldrine Hill. And Bill Norton, the guy who wrote the book Alfie, Bill Norton, a very renowned playwright as well, says JT. Bill Norton lived on the Isle of Man. I just wonder whether you think it's something we should do and be a bit more proud of famous people. And crikey, what about Quilliam? Captain John Quilliam, is there still something to And Paul Q said, don't forget also Joseph Pilates was interned here. And possibly may have developed that that form of exercise while in the internment camp. So maybe we should have something more about Pilates and just make sure that when people do come here for the first time, or perhaps for the only time, perhaps if they're on a cruise, to know that the Isle of Man has always battered above average where this is concerned. I put a new central heating system in Rick Wakeman's house. Belly the plumber said, who do you want the plaque for, Belly? Is it you or for Rick Wakeman? Of course, long-time Manx resident as well. Manny Charlton from Nazareth lived in West Baldwin in the 90s, says Peter. The Newson site has planning permission in place already. Why don't they just carry on with the development instead of passing the hot potato on, says 148. Well, the owner of Newson's contacted Man in Line yesterday and said, now remember, the Newson site is in two bits. There's the bit, the really, really old bit, that's got the preservation order on it, and that's what they're not allowed to develop. But I think they own the other two buildings next to it, and they're wanting to develop the whole thing. And they've offered the bit, the contentious bit, back to the government. The government, you can have it free of charge, FOC, if you want to do something with it. So maybe the government will pick that up, take the owners of Newson's at their word, and hand it over maybe to some conservation group who want to do something with the Newson site, as the owners really aren't allowed to. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. No, just listen to what you're talking about, the plaques, etc. Several that will and are, myself included, missed. There's one down where you go into the car park at the back of the, well, now defunct Quarter Bridge pub. And probably somebody will come on and say it's wrong, but I think that one's connected with Gordon Bennett.
The Gordon Bennett speed trials.
That's the one. There's a small plaque there on the right-hand pillar as you go into that car park on the NSC side. Also, there's one on Westbourne Drive. We've come down through from past the Wessex garage down onto the Quarter Bridge Road.
Oh, Alexander Drive, yeah.
Alexander Drive. Yeah. The old brain is seizing up. There's one there on a house on, as you would be going up. It's the large house on your left-hand side. There's yeah. one there for a while. And that was connected with the start of the TT. There was one also just about 200 yards after Selborne Drive. And these are all small plaques denoting different activities and different people who connected with the TT. Yeah. There's one there for many, many years. Actually, Mike Percival used to live in that house. Used to be with Max Radio many, many years ago. And but also, and something I was looking at, I've asked several times on your programme about the trees down at Portishee.
Yes, you mentioned this.
Spring is coming now. The trees are starting to come back to life, but there's been nothing done about the weed trees underneath them. And they have their own plaque, as we've said, at the Quarter Bridge end, and they were put there for the commemorate the celebration of King George the Sixth, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, but something, I mean, what? So we think, you reckon these weed trees need to be weeded out?
Yes, essentially. They have been once before, but these are very much like a sycamore. They are quite literally a weed tree, although under normal circumstances they could be left to grow, but those trees there in Portishee Meadow, the lime trees, they are there for a particular reason and a celebration. And these trees are going to grow off through them and destroy the shape of them, which would be a crying shame because they are beautiful trees.
Mm.
And that's down to the Kirby Estates, as they are.
And the Kirby Estates, I mean, who owns that site now?
I think it's all part of the Kirby Estates, the Portishee Meadow, all the way around there.
Yeah.
The Kirby Estates were a vast estate all the way out to West Baldwin.
And I think you were saying, obviously, if these weed trees are allowed to proliferate and to thrive, it's going to basically harm that fine line of trees, that avenue of trees.
Well, that's a race and certainty, because these weed trees, I'll just say that they're only nature's way of seeding themselves. It's nothing that they've put in, anything like that. But they do need clearing out. And they don't have to do it. Just cut them down. And a day and a half's work will cut them all down and save the shape of those lime trees, which are, as you just remarked, a beautiful line of trees. And it'd be a crying shame to see them spoilt. Just because these things, these trees, these weed trees, they'll go up to 4 or 5 feet in a season. And they are very, very aggressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is the third time I've been on your programme, and each time I go down there, I was down the other day and I had a look while I was driving past, and the trees are still underneath the lime trees.
Well, it would just be nice to know if whoever's responsible for them is going to do something about them, or indeed if they're not, because, you know, if they're stuck for some funds to get them done, maybe that, you know, there's some volunteers who want to get it done, because we don't want to harm that line of trees. We don't want to put that at risk.
Well, they must be 90 years old now, the lime tree, and they were there for, and we had one of your listeners come on and said his sister from Braddon School planted one of them, so they're not just things that have been stuck there, they're there for a particular reason. And the hue and cry when that little chunk was knocked out of the oak tree when they were down there doing the Braddon Bridge, people are interested in it. It's just the people that own the land.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, and for that line of trees, and then you'll never get it back again, because they've been growing, and the whole base of the tree itself just sweeps down into the field.
Can you imagine if, you know, if nothing is done, and suddenly somebody finds out that the trees are at risk? Can you imagine the outcry that there would be for that?
Well, I'd say last year when I mentioned this, and in between times and this morning, there's been no human outcry, because the people that own the land, and it's all part of the rugby fields down there. The, you know, the company that owns it, or the estate that owns it, don't seem to be particularly bothered. So it's the people of the island who should be up in arms about this and bring these people, yeah, to heel. And it's not a major job. You know, it's something that can be done quite easily.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
Bye now.
All right, it's 19 minutes past 12. And by the way, I think there should be a plaque to Mike Percival. That's what we need to do. That's today's job. Where would you put it, Mike? Would it be Colby these days, or up on Quarter Bridge Road? Quite a few notes in this morning. Just say, what's this about these medical records that have gone AWOL? Manx Care's written to 160 patients after medical records were found in an ex-Manx Care employee's home. The records in question relate to patients seen between 2000 and 2014. They were found in a former employee's home in September last year. The incident was investigated by the Care Quality and Safety Lead for Community and Primary Care, as well as its information governance team. Details of the breach, along with findings of the investigation, were shared with the Isle of Man Information Commissioner's Office to ensure compliance with the Data Protection Act 2014. The ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office, says it's content with the manner in which Manx Care reported and responded to the situation and closed its investigation in November of last year. Now, Manx Care says it's apologised to those affected, so 160 patients should have had letters about this. Manx Care have said they're sorry and has reassured the patients that an investigation has happened into how the data breach occurred. It said it's ensured the current safeguards have been further strengthened to avoid an incident like this happening again. And you may well say, I jolly well hope so as well. As well as the 67, I know, I'm sorry about this, the 67 Gents public lavatories they used to be in Douglas, and the 25 petrol stations, I'm also getting a list now of butchers we have known. Famous butchers we have known. You don't catch many butchers these days, do you? But apparently the number of butchers in and around Douglas, thank you, David, I appreciate that. Thanks also to everybody who was talking about the pubs yesterday. And thank you to Bonzo. Interesting listen. Thanks for tuning in for Bonzo yesterday. We were talking about hospitality and what have you. Apparently, the inventor of the crossword puzzle is buried in Douglas Cemetery. If you go through the gates, he's 5 down, 6 across. I know. Thank you, 797. I was waiting when somebody would actually come to that. Thanks also to everybody telling me about Joseph Pilates. And also to the many pop groups who used to be here once upon a time. We'll get to those, but this is a serious point, really, of having blue plaques for people who live here, but people who just come for the first time and don't know much about the Isle of Man, to suddenly put it on, and it will kind of fix it in people's memory. Now, next Monday, the government roadshows start. The Listening to You events are taking place around the Isle of Man to give you a chance to meet ministers and put questions to them face to face. Two things, really. It's an opportunity to chat to ministers. If you have something to say, to actually see them, look them in the face with a cup of tea in your hand, eye to eye, and just tell them what your concerns are. The other thing I will say is, if nobody does, then obviously the government will still say, well, we reached out to the public. So Monday, next Monday, Castle Rushen High School. Tuesday, QE2 High School. Wednesday, Ballacameen in Douglas. And Thursday, it's Ramsey Grammar School. Now, they're on 6 till 8pm, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Get there at 5:30. You can book beforehand if you want to, on Eventbrite, but I'm guessing it's not going to be sold out, so you can go along there, tea and coffee, and you can meet the ministers. This morning, Treasury Minister Alex Allenson was in Manx Radio, and we just asked him, really, you know, if they've had much interest so far, and also what's going to be happening.
We've had some good initial bookings. You can go on Eventbrite and book in advance. You don't have to. You can turn up to the venues and register on the day. But we've had some initial interest. Again, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday evenings next week. It's a way that government can actually get out, reconnect with the people, listen, but also really hear people's views, make sure our priorities resonate with them, and actually explain what we've done so far and what we're going to be doing for the rest of this administration.
Now, Minister, many people have claimed a lot of dissatisfaction with this government over the last 2.5 years. So when you take questions from those who come along, are you and your colleagues ready for a potentially pretty rough ride?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be searching people for pitchforks on the way in. But we know that things are difficult for people right across the island, both in terms of businesses and the general public. We know we've been through some really rough years, but also we know now that inflation's coming down, that the jobless figures are coming down, that the economy has been remarkably resilient. And what government needs to do is actually invest in the island, make sure that resilience continues, but also make sure that people actually see the benefits of the policies we've been putting into place over the last 2.5 years.
In a recent interview, the Chief Minister told Manx Radio government needs to reconnect with the Manx public and listen more. So is this just lip service, a bit of a PR exercise, or will Comyn genuinely listen to the points put forward by the audience? And actually, just as crucially, will you act on some of the feedback?
Absolutely. And again, I think we need to remember that on the Isle of Man, politicians are probably the most approachable anywhere else in the world. You can bump into your ministers in the supermarket, you can phone them up, you can email them, you can access them on Facebook. We're always coming onto the man in line. We have that immediacy because we are members of the community we serve. So we are listening, but more than that, we've got to hear. We've got to make sure that we're hearing people. There are lots of different views on the island, though. I mean, when you talk about dissatisfaction, also there are people who are doing very well on the island. So it's not all doom and gloom, but what we need to do is make sure that our policies resonate and deliver for the people of this island.
Anyway, I'd urge you to pop along if you can next week, 6 till 8 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You don't have to go to every one, although we will be at every one with some microphones. but it'll be interesting to see exactly what comes out of it. The Chief Minister, I think not every minister is going to be at everyone, but certainly Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, Kate Lord-Brennan, of course, is Minister at the Cabinet Office, Education, Sport and Culture is Daphne Kane, Environment, Food and Agriculture, Claire Barber, Enterprise is Tim Johnston, Health and Social Care, Laurie Hooper, Home Affairs, Jane Paul-Wilson, Infrastructure, Tim Crookall, and Treasury, you heard him just there, Dr. Allenson will be there. I'd be interested to know, maybe you've got a question already that you're going to put to them, but you'd just like to put to the general public of the Isle of Man to see exactly what we think about this. I've got more on that data breach, by the way. I thought I'd tell you, Manxcare insists this data breach of patient records was an isolated incident. They've written to 160 people. It's apologised unreservedly to everybody for this. This is Chief Executive Teresa Cope talking about the breach.
So there was a huge volume of information, huge numbers of sort of files and individual pieces of information, and they've all been processed to be able to allow us to identify who those individuals are and check them back against records. Some of those records were sort of affected by water damage, and some of them were not able to identify who they linked back to. So there has been a very extensive investigation taking a number of months, and hence that's why we'll be writing to the 160 individuals who have been identified. The investigation identified that all of the right policies and procedures existed at the time. It is not unusual for staff members to take records to work on at home. There are some clear policy frameworks, you know, around that. But obviously what should happen is those records should be returned to our medical records store. And obviously that hadn't happened. Obviously we're talking about a long, long time ago. We're talking about between 2000 and 2014. So some of those records are 24 years old. And since that time, policies and procedures have been tightened up. I think it's just that constant reminder to all of our staff, their responsibilities around management of patient data. It's imperative on us all to make sure that we have undertaken the right training and information governance and we follow all the policies and procedures. I would like to, on behalf of Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care, offer an unreserved apology to all the individuals who have been affected by this data breach. We have thoroughly investigated it. We have looked at the learning and are committed to informing individuals that have been involved in this unfortunate incident.
Well, there she is, Chief Exec of Manxcare, Teresa Cope, talking about this shocking data breach. 160 patients have been written to after medical records were found in an ex-Manxcare's employee's home. Kay said, well, what's all this about people's medical information being found? Has this been taken, as you know, patients' identification been used and possibly used to defraud or use that information? We don't know, Kay. At the moment, we just don't know. We just know what you've heard from Teresa Cope. We know what we've heard from Manx Care. And the breach concerns patients who were seen between 2000 and 2014. No doubt if you're involved, you will have had a letter. Thanks to WhatsApper 145, an ex-work colleague of mine was friends with Rick Wakeman's son, Oscar. They were at Rick's house playing a game when in walked David Bowie, who was on the Isle of Man filming at the time. He just said, "All right, lads." There we are. And thanks also to WhatsApper 202. I mentioned yesterday that if you're in Victoria Street in Douglas, where what's now Starbucks used to be years ago, it was Burton's the Tailors. There is a stone there that says this stone was laid by Raymond Montagu Burton in 1929. It's a piece of history. And obviously, Montagu Burton was the man who gave us the full Monty. That was what the full Monty was. It was a full suit that you bought. Montagu Burton, the full Monty. And it's there and it's in. And most people, I would guarantee 99% of people won't do it. But I do hope you'll take a look. And by the way, if you are looking at it, please stop. Don't walk into anybody else. I've taken to spray painting dog poo around Ballachilia Park, around where Southern Nomads play. There's so much it tells you to keep your dog on a lead and stay off the playing fields, but still people throw balls across the pitches. Dog muck has stopped play and training, and the youngest group is 4 years old. Who would do that? Who would let the dog foul a playing field or a playing area? Why would you let that? Why would you, A, let your dog do that? It's not the dog's fault, of course, but why would you not attempt to clean up afterwards? I'd lightest, What is it? Well, I can't think why you'd do that, but thank you for that. And I do hope that isn't prevalent on any other playing fields. Charles Dickens' father lived here for a while. He had a music shop in Athol Street in Douglas, I believe, says 601. And don't forget the Manx missile, the golden phone box as well. But you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't know what the golden phone box was for unless you knew. And there's no... Has anybody noticed how poorly the black and white curbstones have been painted from Schoolhouse Corner in Ramsey right through and up May Hill as part of preparatory works for TT? The old flaking paint hasn't even been scraped off, just roughly and thinly painted over. Well, maybe that's the undercoat, Francis. DOI won't get the contractors back to do a decent job. I wonder what low level you can get away with at taxpayers' expense, Francis's words. How about a blue plaque for Michelle Moan and Doug Barrowman for raising the Isle of Man's global reputation, says the 4459. I don't think you're allowed blue plaques in St Mark's. It's very posh. Adding blue plaques in the current climate smacks of desperation. By all means, be proud of the Isle of Man, but let's get the basics right first. Infrastructure, healthcare, not an excuse for people full of their own self-importance to turn up at the opening of an envelope, says 888. If you want blue plaques, put them over the potholes. I heard on Manx Radio this morning, Dr. Allinson was saying that food prices are coming down, and I'd like to know where does he do his shopping, as I shop regularly every week, and I notice prices are going up all the time, says 838. Well, the rate of inflation is going down. Nobody ever said prices were going to go down. I think Dr. Allinson may have said that inflation's coming down. A building society, we're talking about the... how difficult it is to get a bank account on the Isle of Man these days, how long it can take, even if the bank knows you and you've banked there before. A building society based in the Channel Islands advertises it's easy to set up an account. In fact, you just need certified documents to do so. Very intense. I can open an online account in minutes, proof of ID involved, and have a Sterling account with a card for withdrawals, says Donald. True. Revolut, you can set up a Revolut fairly quickly. It can take weeks on the Isle of Man to set up a bank account. So what does that say about us? Mike in Douglas. The parking on Devonshire Road is going to cause a serious accident. Cars have been dumped between numbers 8 and 5. Residents can't see up the road when they're pulling out of their drives. Mike in Douglas. I always agree with everything Howard says regarding nuisance, this is. Douglas looks like any town in the UK now. His suggestion that the facade of nuisance should be kept is an excellent idea. They did this with BBC Television Centre. It's a Grade 2 listed building. The facade had to be preserved, but the interior was redeveloped. Well, that's the situation regarding nuisance. Now the owners, the people who wanted to do the project, have given up. They packed their tool bags up and gone. It's not going to happen. Nuisance will continue to be something of an eyesore.
FC Isle of Man face their third of three games in 5 days this weekend in another hectic week for the Ravens in the NWCFL Premier Division. The Manx side welcome AFC Liverpool to the Bowl this Saturday in their penultimate home game of the season as the Ireland outfit continue their push for a top 10 finish. Join me, Rob Pritchard, for FC Isle of Man versus AFC Liverpool, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
25 to 1. This is Man in Line live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. Good afternoon. Does the Steam Packet want a non-exec director 24 days a year, £833 a day? And how much does the executive get? David. Wow, this is the truth. They want some non-execs for the Steam Packet Company. Have you applied yet? And Dick says, if the Steam Packet can afford to pay almost £1,000 a day to get two people with calculators to sit on their board, how much is Manx Care paying for the non-exec directors they have on their board who live across and fly in each month to board meetings? I bet the Steam Packet will do the same as Manx Care and get these two new directors on huge money, and I think they're going to come from across. I bet, ironically, we'll be paying their airfare each month to get them here for the steam packet board meeting as well. Well, we don't know. It's true. I think a couple, at least one of the Manx Care directors lives across. But then again, that's happened for a while. One, the previous, sadly, the guy who passed away lived in Wigan. And I think currently one of them lives in Bristol. But presumably what they're saying is you have to pay for experience and knowledge. And they have experience and knowledge. But that's probably what they'd say. Well, maybe ask them about it.
Wedding planners and photographers, looking for a truly unique backdrop for wedding photography? Then consider the historic Queen's Pier in Ramsey for a stunning coastal backdrop for truly memorable photographs. It offers a fantastic location to photographers in exchange for an affordable donation. Visit the Queen's Pier Restoration on Facebook, or to discuss photo opportunities, call Graham on 355 104. That's 355 104. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Paul Carey and Sons.
Hey, June. I wanted to tell you about the Green Living Grant. Well, new Spectrum windows and doors are so energy efficient, they qualify for the Green Living Grant, with funding available for up to 50% of the cost. I saved £5,725, but the application deadline closes at the end of June.
Don't delay. Contact Spectrum Windows today on 817777. T's and C's apply.
People of the Isle of Man, are you thinking of buying or selling a home? Well, wait! You need to talk to the conveyancing team at LVW Law. LVW Law! They've over 20 years of experience and know what they're talking about. They're friendly and efficient. Do not buy or sell a property without calling LVW Law on 836757. For a no-obligation quote, LVW Law.
This Saturday, Manx Radio is live at the new H&H Motorcycle Store on South Key Industrial Estate in Douglas. They have everything you need, from bikes, clothing and accessories to service, repairs and tyres. We'll be talking to the guys about their full range of race and casual motorcycle clothing. But even better, come along on Saturday morning, as there are many great offers on the day and lots of prizes to be won. H&H Motorcycles at South Key Industrial Estate Douglas, for a browse, a coffee and a chat, live on the Lifestyle Furniture Saturday Social this Saturday from 10:30. The Nation Station, Manx
Radio. In line with Andy Wint.
Text, email, call and WhatsApp, and a message in just saying, why don't we ever prosecute people who allow their dog to foul? I can't remember the last time I ever heard of anybody being prosecuted for that. Can you remember that? And certainly for a one-off. I mean, I don't know. They do say that there's a fine for it. But why doesn't anybody ever get done? Surely, you know, if you like, this has been brought to people's attention for years and years and years. Dog fouling has always been a problem. And, of course, it's not the dogs. It's the people who allow the dogs or don't clean up after dogs. But there are bylaws, and I can't remember. Can you remember anybody who's been nicked for doing this? Texter 432 said, you were talking about pubs. The oldest pub on the Isle of Man is the Mitre in Kirkmichael. Is that true? Is it true that the Mitre is the oldest pub on the Isle of Man? People are afraid, says 762, afraid to go to Minister's Roadshow, because if they ask an awkward question or make a negative comment, it can be held against them by government departments. Now, would you think that will be true? When you say an awkward question or a negative comment, would that, I mean, are you frightened? Would anybody be frightened to go to one of these ministers' roadshow? Look the ministers in the eye and just ask a pertinent question. You know, ask Tim Crookhall from Infrastructure, ask, you know, ask him about the Liverpool landing stage, or Dr. Allenson, and just say, what's the state of the public sector pension pot? How long have we got? Are the reserves what they should be? I mean, surely. Would you be afraid? I don't know. Did you see the cars underwater and the rivers underwater, roads to rivers turned... Oh, sorry. Did you see the cars underwater, roads turned to rivers? Thank you, 660. That event in Dubai, how it all went wrong, apparently, with a cloud harvest, says Manx Will. Well, they say there were some flights. Apparently, they seeded the clouds over Dubai, and it all went very... They had a year's rain in a couple of hours, so it all got very wet out there. We'll see. 160, I think, is not an isolated incident. I hope those affected sue, Manx Care, says 502. Well, you don't know for a fact, do you, that 160 is an isolated incident. Ruth in Douglas. A blue plaque commemorating our local hero, Nellie Brennan, has disappeared from Hatfield Grove in Douglas. I didn't know there was one there, Ruth. She was an amazing person who risked her life nursing people affected by the dreadful typhoid outbreak in the 1800s. There was a mass grave in St. George's Churchyard for the many people who died. Why did plaques go missing and who authorises the removal? Says Ruth, I don't know that there's an official policy on blue plaques. But it would be interesting to know if anybody took it or anybody's actually got it, Ruth. But yes, I'm aware of the mass grave in St. George's Churchyard, but I've not seen the blue plaque. That's an expensive investigation. Who's paying for that, says Tom? That's the Mrs. the Manx Care investigation onto the missing documents. I don't know if you've heard this one, but I seem to remember the mother of Emmeline Pankhurst came from the Isle of Man and was very well known in rights for women on the Isle of Man, which incidentally predated the UK, says Paul. Did, didn't it? 481 as well. So, says 572, staff can take medical records home to work on them, and Teresa Cope said it's okay as long as they bring them back. Who else in the household could see those records, and what's to stop anyone copying records and returning the originals? I think, didn't she say there are protocols around it? And, well, I just wonder what your thoughts are with this, 572. The painting on the curbs at Greba Castle has run down into the road as the guys were painting them in the rain, says Peter. Not long to go for TT. Most Sunday lunchtimes when he was here, Morris Gibb could be found in the corner by the front door of the Liverpool Arms. So that must be worth a blue plaque, says Rich. You'd have to open the Liverpool Arms to do it, though, wouldn't you? Where did Morris live? Was it somewhere by Upper Duke's Road at one time? I still haven't had anything further. A couple of people asked me about the 20,000 cash limit that you can deposit in Barclays Bank. This is something proposed in the UK, and we're trying to find out whether that's going to happen in the Isle of Man. So if you have a cash-rich business, if you trade with the public and take cash, Barclays now... It will be interesting to see where it goes. Lots of conspiracy people have been in touch with me just to say this is them wanting the end of a cash society. They want a cashless society, and we'll just have to go along with it in the end. They've only just finished the walkway on Strand Street. Now, says 109, two guys with a jackhammer are digging it up today. We'll wait and see if it's refilled with tarmac, says 109. Busy, busy on messages today. Children play on the beach all year round digging in the sand, yet dogs roam and leave their mess, like in Murrock Park. They should be banned and not despoil the new beach machine, says John. It is always the minority, and usually a tiny minority, that spoil it for everybody. Wouldn't it be a dreadful situation if you had to ban dogs from the beach? Dogs love legging it up and down our beaches, and because a few people can't be bothered to move the mess, that may be the same everywhere. But quite what you do, it's akin to trying to stop people littering. I have to just let you into a small secret here. At the top of Manx Radio here on Douglas Head, we've got a couple of car parks, and the top one's very nice for viewing. So we often get tourists and people coming up and sitting in the top when nobody's at the radio station, sitting there and also exercising their dogs on Douglas Head as you go up towards Carnane, the big television transmitter there. So we see people walking, and I happened to be leaving the radio station one night earlier on this week at about 8 o'clock, and there was a white van with people, and a lady got out and took three dogs onto Carnane, and the gentleman in the van threw out of the van two McDonald's cups. onto our car park. Now, you're saying, what did you do, Andy? I didn't do anything. I didn't want to go up and say, excuse me, you've dropped cardboard cups, because with people like that, you never know what you're going to get said to your face. What would you have done if that had happened to you? And quite what do you say to people who are adults, dog owners, and yet think they can just lob litter willy-nilly out of the window of a car onto a car park that isn't even theirs?
The chain, there's no chain. The chain's jumped off the sprocket.
Motorcycle racing is back this Sunday on the Derby Airfield for the Andreas Racing Association's meeting. Under-16s get in free. Adults are £6. There's full facilities. Come and see us trackside.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 61 2000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
Life isn't always easy, and we can sometimes feel we're totally alone in our struggles. From employment issues, housing benefit complications and relationship breakdowns, to faulty goods and bad workmanship. But whatever hurdles you face, Manx Citizens Advice Service at Tai Rush and Port Erin is here to help you overcome them with free confidential support and advice and guidance on where to get the help you need. We're open each Friday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. No appointment necessary. Alternatively, leave a message on 833976 or email scas@manx.net and one of our team will get back to you. Citizensadvice.im. Here for you for life.
This evening at 6, it'll be Shark Lay.
Drich is rather miserable weather, something damp.
You don't have to name somewhere and write about it, just an inspiration.
If your ship's going down, you're not posing for a selfie. So there are not many photographs of shipwrecks out there.
You need to look at your tide tables.
Sir William Hillary was very much concerned about maritime safety.
Find out more this evening at 6 in Shark Lay.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast to my good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. I wonder if any politicians ever drive along Groudle Road as I used to, but I don't now because it's a terrible state of the road, says Frank. How is Groudle Road these days? How about Randolph Quirk? Sir Randolph Quirk from Cronkavody became Queen for English Language and Literature, died aged 97 in 2017, says Malcolm. I read with interest on your website the story that inflation has fallen again. Just wonder why petrol stations across the Isle of Man continue to increase petrol prices. I can only imagine the price of petrol will continue to rise with the TT on its way. When's the OFT going to investigate petrol stations? Says Pam, it's a rip-off. Who knows? Perhaps Tesco will set up a petrol station and give them all a run for their money, says Pam. Well, they decide, Pam. That's all there is to it. Is the Trafalgar in Ramsey one of the oldest, says John, or is the Mitre the oldest? Plenty of experts have stated this, says 653. The storms in Dubai were nothing to do with cloud seeding. Ah, now we're in that territory. He said, she said. What exactly can you do with medical records, says Des? I don't know, Des. What do you think? Why would anybody, this is AG, says, why would on earth would anybody be afraid to ask questions to anybody over here? We continue to have freedom of speech, so if by chance this person is from off the island, I say, don't let your restrictions over there hold you back over here. Go and see the politicians and have your say. Because if you don't go, they'll think nobody cares. Morris Gibb lived in Kibra House on Belmont Hill, says Peter. And James said that mass grave in St. George's is a cholera grave and the headstone is to the right of the entrance to the church. I think asking questions at any roadshow is pointless. The MHKs will have stock answers to stock questions, and those answers will always include we will learn lessons. Whilst they and their civil servants remain unaccountable, they'll keep their heads down and carry on regardless, says 109. Well, the Chief Minister wants to hear what you have to say. He said it. He said, we want to learn, we want to reset. So we take the Chief Minister at his word, and, well, that's what we can do with it. Lots of messages in also about you. Andy, you keep talking about this this 60 being 60 years of age, not me, Manx Radio being 60 years of age, and also talking about, you know, the archive and what you do. I got a message in from Marty who said, Andy, I'll tell you what I would really, really like to hear. I'd like to hear Dorothy from Peel on Man in Line. Marty, are you really sure you want to hear Dorothy from Peel?
Another well-known caller to the Man in Line for a number of years was Dorothy Quirk from Peel. In this edition of the programme from March 1993, presented by David Collister, Dorothy talks to David Dixon from the Steam Packet and also Richard Kirkman.
OK, we actually have a caller on the line now, and it's Dorothy. Hello, Dorothy.
Good morning. Now, I don't know which of these fine, brainy gentlemen are responsible, but as a resident of, say, a few years in Peel, I was horrified when I read in the paper that our local commissioners had turned down this tended village was to go up on the headlands. Now, surely this was looked into as regards drains and all before the steam packet made this offer. Or was it the fact that you give it to Peel because nobody else wanted it?
Oh, David Dixon. Oh, Richard, is it? Yes.
Looks like it, yeah. We were offered the opportunity to look at the Peel site. Dave Morgan, who runs the Tented Village in Nobles Park, went out to have a look. Sadly, being up on the headland, it's an extremely windy site. And
it's always been windy.
Well, that makes it very difficult for people living in tents.
Obviously, you don't know anything about Peel for a start.
Well, being in the position it is, particularly in Peel, Dave, when he went up there, certainly felt that the opportunity to run a tented village up there would be very difficult to manage indeed. When you're thinking of people in tented accommodation, if you get a particularly bad windy spell, it would be very inhospitable.
What about the drainage aspect, though, that Dorothy raises?
Well, certainly, as in Nobles Park, there's an extensive amount of work and financial investment required to put drains and services in to make it a competent campsite. And the timescale available is quite short.
So Peel is now completely out of the question, is it?
Peel is out of the question, yes.
Peel's out of the question, Dorothy.
Hold on, yes, well, no, in the town commissioners, that's possible anyway. But then again, there was a tented village, the boys at Ballaloch. Now, I don't know the Quayle family, only by sight. They cleared their site for the tented village and they were turned down. What happened there? Is it because it was too far out of Douglas?
Well, now, wait a minute. Which one is this? Glenloch?
Glenloch,
right. Has Glenloch been investigated?
I don't think Dave's been out there, but I wouldn't know why he would have turned up.
I mean, they do take holidaymakers anyway, so it may be not available. So,
but, David, they're talking about the drainage. They had a golf course, putting cars up there. There was a hut's been up there for years serving refreshments and all. So there was bound to be some drainage. Or was it, as I said before, because it was Peel and nobody could be bothered?
Well, wait a minute now. Let's just clear it. Are you going to actually look for somewhere else now, or have you given up on that one?
Dave is still actively looking because there's a tremendous number of people who want to come to the TT who at the moment are not able to do so.
And you could ship them if
we can ship them, yeah.
They can be shipped. Dorothy, thank you.
Oh, don't bother.
Right. Now, we've got some callers waiting for us and we'll hear from them after the break.
I'm not joking, that was 31 years ago. 31 short years ago, that was the incomparable David Callister and Dorothy Quirk from Peel. And we've had lots of requests about getting former callers. And if you've got perhaps a former caller that you would like to hear again, then we'll try and trawl the archive to find more of the people who... we have characters nowadays. We have regular people who call Man in Line. Every phone-in I've ever done over the past 45 years has had regular people to call in. And you get to know those people. And they have numbered many and varied over the years since I first started doing Man in Line in 1998. And there she was in 1992. Three was Dorothy Quirk. I've reported McDonald's litter drop to police. I handed over the till receipt with the date and the time of purchase because it was in the bag. It should be easily detectable, but I never heard a thing anymore. And you tend to lose... spirit, really, because if you find something that is litter and that is identifiable and you report it, are we entitled to think something's going to be done about this, or is it just, you know, goes to the back of the queue? We understand the police are really busy. Is it a police matter? Is it a council matter? What's going to happen? Leave dog owners alone. What about the mess horses leave in public places? Don't see the riders getting off and cleaning it up, says Andy. Well, you never did, to that matter. And to be quite honest, horse manure smells a lot different to dog stuff, doesn't it? I did challenge somebody who dumped a McDonald's bag at the Pigeon Stream car park. It was a teenage girl in a car with an adult, and she was quite put out. I did the same at one of the reservoirs when a dog walker marched ahead of their dog, leaving it to foul the path. We have to challenge behaviour like this. Maybe I'm a coward, 475, but I really didn't feel that I wanted to challenge somebody who lobbed McDonald's drinks containers, empty ones, down onto the car park at Manx Radio. Was I a bit of a coward for doing that? Take notice, dog walkers, passing Snowfell Road flats just before Williston Primary School. The grass is not a dog toilet. Tom, who cuts the grass, not the corporation, so watch out. Groudle Road, considering they spent millions on the electric railway, great, says Kelly, but the road is in an appalling state. Barry Gibb lived in Prince's Road. Oh, that one on the corner, the blue and white one, Sherdley it was called, wasn't it, on Prince's Road? It wasn't Morris, it was Barry. It's not the Groudle Road that's past Onken Golf Course, it's the King Edward Road by Groudle. So maybe we need better signs, says 134. And thank you to 505. I want Marge Jochen. Maybe we'll start a league table. You've heard Dorothy from Peel. This weekend there are a couple of political surgeries. They're both on Saturday, 10 o'clock. Onken Community Hall, the hub it is, opposite Onken School. Rob Callister, MHK. One of the two Onken MHKs is in session from 10 till 11.30. And from 11.30 till 1 at Williston School in the main assembly hall, the Douglas North MHKs plus councillors will be there. Meet and talk to David Ashford and John Wallenberg, 11.30 till 1 at Williston School. And Rob Callister at Onken Community Hall from 10 to 11.30. And please, please have a think about those Listen To Us. We're listening roadshows next week with the Council of Ministers. That's it. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Back with an open line tomorrow too. W-I-N-T.